This is the ways of the glorified, and I believe that it's going to be a very wonderful time. Let's move straight into the word. So today on the ways of the glorified, I am going to talk about the power of value in wealth creation. The power of value in wealth creation. You know, I believe that every one of us understand that as a people called unto the glory and walk with the glory, one of the things that God makes available to us is the potential to make wealth, the potential, the ability, the power. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So in the walk with God, we have power from the Lord to get wealth. Power. But many times we don't really understand, we don't get to know what this power is about. The power to get wealth is actually an amalgamation of certain realities. It is a consummation of certain spiritual propositions, which when put together effectively will transform the poorest man into the richest man. Hallelujah. So we want, one of the power to get wealth is the power of value, and to be able to create wealth, we must understand this one particular thing. It is a factor or an element of the power to get wealth, the power of value. You see, so here is the thing. The power and the principles of wealth, you know, has to do with the issue of making, managing, and multiplying wealth. But you must understand that this journey actually begins with understanding what money is. You understand that money is not just paper. Money is a universal concept, but currency is national and regional. It's extremely important. So as we begin, let's deal with this question. What is money? What is money? A lot of people are seeking for that one thing they have no understanding of. They have the power to get wealth, but they don't understand that which they are pursuing, money. Number one, I'm giving you four definitions of money. Number one, money is a medium of exchange. Money is whatever you have which you can use to exchange for anything you need. Money is whatever you have. Before we come to paper, before we come to currency, money is first of all what you have, which you can use to exchange for anything you need. It could be time, it could be energy, it could be skill, it could be a resource. It's extremely important to understand this fundamental, you know, definition of money. It's a medium of exchange. It is anything that allows you to exchange what you have with what you need. Number two definition of money. Money is the reward for solving problems. Hallelujah. Money is a reward for solving problems. People are looking for money, but they run away from the least problem that shows up. Money only flows in the direction and in exchange for solutions. The level of problems you solve determines the level of money that flows to you. Money is a reward system for adequate compensation in the use of talents, gifts, and resources. It is a reward system. It is a reward for solving a problem. So when God says that he has given us power to get wealth, in that power lies the ability to solve problems. Hallelujah. If you shun problems, you delay your wealth. If you run away from problems, you delay your wealth. Number three definition of money. Money is a representation of value. Money represents value. It represents the level of value, both intrinsic and transferable. The amount of investment one puts in himself to produce excellence is a determination of value. And every value has its commensurate level of money it commands. Sometimes I've made this example. You know, imagine yourself in a car, maybe in a traffic, in a typical place like Accra, and you have enough cash in your pocket. And in the traffic, just imagine the situation. In the traffic, somebody like the Vice President of Ghana, His Excellency Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, knocks at your window and he is offering water at any price. Perhaps they know they are probably trying to raise funds for a cause. So he tells you, hello, I'm the Vice President of the country. I'm selling this water, bottled water. It's customized with a lot of information on what we are going to do. We want you to offer us something in exchange for this water. Ask yourself, are you sure bottled water is actually 1 cedi, or some sell it 1 cedi 50 pesos? Those who don't have the Holy Ghost, they sell it 2 cedis. But imagine you have enough cash on yourself. Ask yourself, will you give the Vice President 2 cedis for that water? Hallelujah. At that particular moment, there is a value you perceive in the person. That value commands a certain level of money from you without it being called for. You feel that to give 2 cedis or 5 cedis to the Vice President for water might be an insult, because he's probably bigger than that. So your sense of his value gives you that push to bring out your best in exchange for that water. That is money representing value. Value calls for its commensurate, proportionate level of money. So you want money, build value. Hallelujah. The power to get wealth, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, involves the ability, the wisdom in creating value. And that's what we are talking about today. Finally, what is money? Money is a measure of capacity. Money reflects how much a person is able to contain and to manage. It is a neutral medium that showcases what a person is made up of. Money is what amplifies every hidden reality within the capacity of a person. So when two people are given the same resources, eventually one becomes richer than the other, and it is because of differences in capacity. Their ability to contain responsibility, contain pressure, manage. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Extremely important. So, 4 definitions for money. Money is medium of exchange. Number 2, money is a reward for solving problems. Number 3, money is representation of value. And number 4, money is measure of capacity. And let me chip in this. I learned from Dr. Emmanuel Olumide about where money can be found, sources of money. Sometimes it is interesting how many people go around looking for money when money is actually right by them. And I'm going to mention four of them. I've just clustered them together for your blessing. Hallelujah. Number one, money is found in people, places, and problems. Wherever there are a people, there is a geographic definition assigned to them because of where they are. And in that place, there are certain problems they might be dealing with. I said money is a reward for solving problems. The power to get wealth. You know, we have a lot of Christians, and it bothers me a lot. We have a lot of believers who confess prosperity, but will never work towards any of them. They confess prosperity, but they never get to see it. And it is a sad reality. Because in Christ, we have every potential to make as much money as possible, to bless the work of the Lord, to push destinies, to establish lives, to establish the heritage of the family that you belong to. Hallelujah. It's extremely important. People, places, and problems. People, places, and problems. Anytime you find yourself amongst a people, based on where they are, there is a carefully constructed problem they might be dealing with. You may be staying in an estate, you may be staying in an outskirts. In that place, there are people there, and by virtue of that place, there is a particular problem of access to basic necessities. Stop praying for money to fall from heaven and identify money right there where you are. Create access to the things that they need. Number two, source of money. Money is found in gifts, talents, and potential. And God has blessed everybody with talents and gifts. God has blessed everybody with potentials. Hallelujah. Your gold is tied to your gift. Your treasure is tied to your talent. Your profit is tied to your potential. It is time that as a child of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of God, you begin to think of how to harness those unique graces upon your head. Stop talking about it and start putting it to work. Stop bragging about it and start thinking of how not to, you know, you are not merchandising your grace. But you must understand that your grace is a solution to somebody else's problem. And in the process, you have the chance, the ability to be able to transact with intelligence. Hallelujah. Number three, source of money is in what we have always been praying about: ideas, concepts, and insights. Ideas, concepts, and insights. You should understand this. 1,000 good intentions are not as powerful as one action. And you should understand that in this world, listen, in this world, no one has a monopoly over ideas. Nobody. Ideas abound. And one of the ways that God empowers us to succeed, empowers us to get wealth, is through the empowerment of our minds for ideas, the empowerment of our minds for concepts, the empowerment of our minds for insights. And finally, where do we see money? How do we find money? Money is found in your seed. What is the seed? Engaging, giving, and deployment as a life principle. By the principle of life, those who hoard, they never get to receive. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. By principle of life, life only flows to those who give it. Be a giver, a habitual giver. Be a covenantal giver. Hallelujah. Be a covenantal giver. Don't give only out of your availability. Give also out of your expectations. That is advanced giving. Thank you, Jesus. Your seed is a source of your money. A lot of us eat every seed that comes to our hands. So because of that, our life is always dry. Imagine a farmer who is busily cooking his seed. You know, corn. You know, corn is a seed as well as a fruit. So in the time of planting, a farmer is busily eating the seed, making kondo, porridge, every all kinds of things, and molikoko. In the time of harvest, there will be nothing for him or her. So you must be smart. You must have a certain kind of spiritual intelligence to identify seed. Seed is not just what's the one we call for. Seed must be identified. It is not everything that comes to your hand that is a fruit. And that leads me to where next I am talking, where next I'm going about money. Hallelujah. I want all my sons and daughters to be rich. I want everybody who is listening to be rich, because I want to meet you one day somewhere and then take a $1 million check from your hand without you having to cry and going to Facebook and say that all pastors are after money. Those people who say that are always poor. I am yet to see a rich man who is bashing a pastor for receiving funds from people to do what God wants him to do. Hallelujah. It's extremely important. I want you to be rich. I want you to be blessed. I don't want prosperity to just be a prayer topic for you. The ways of the glorified, it is about the practicalization of the revelation of our being in Christ, so that we will become it. It will become our real life testimony. Hallelujah. So to be able, you know, to be able to harness this power to get wealth, you must understand value. First value of money. You must understand that for every money that comes to your hand, there are four streams of money. I have always mentioned how God whispered and taught me this way back in 2009. In my third year university, I was walking to the lecture area. I wasn't going to the lectures. I was going to the lecture area. And you know, sometimes when the Holy Spirit wants to teach you something, he comes with a question. And in the helplessness of your wanderings, he begins to teach you the truths that could only come from God to liberate you and to establish you in his plans and in his purposes. Hallelujah. Four streams of money. Very important. Four streams of money. The first stream of money I want to expose to you. Before I start, let me read this scripture to you. In Luke 16, verse 11, the Bible said, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" So you understand that prosperity, wealth in the kingdom of God is entrusted. It is not earned. There must be a level of qualification. You know, you see how frustrated we can be when we are trying to understand the wealth of many people. Sometimes the math does not add up. And the mystery behind it is that kingdom wealth is entrusted by God. It says, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? Hallelujah. Look at this thing. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19, and chapter 6, verse 2. It says, every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth, and has given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. So even the power to get wealth is different from the power to enjoy that wealth. Hallelujah. It says, a man to whom God has given riches, wealth and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desired, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof. The reason why some people can amass wealth but they cannot partake of it is because they don't understand the four streams of money I am coming to talk to you about. And as a son and a daughter, today is my birthday. I want to release to you secrets, gifts. Somebody sent me a message. The man of God, today on your birthday, when I was 24 years old, I am also 24 years. What did you do that I can also do? And I gave him three bullets, three shots. This one I'm giving you four. Four streams of money. Hallelujah. Number one stream of money, which you must employ divine intelligence to identify. Anytime, you know, never see what comes into your hand as what you are supposed to consume. No. It is only a portion that is there to consume. Whatever comes to your hand, your bank account, you know, I know we live in a generation, we are being baptized with the evil streams of entitlement. You know, we say, oh, this is my money. I worked hard for it. You have no idea what I have done to get this thing. You have no idea what I have done to get that thing. You have no idea. I have qualified for it. I have worked my way. You remember, in one of the parables of Jesus, God actually insulted one guy who was like that and said, tonight, your soul shall be required of thee. So when we are handling money, one of the things you must break off your neck is the yoke of entitlement. No, we are stewards. Kingdom mentality. We are stewards of God's provisions in our lives. We are stewards. And as stewards, we must understand how our master has designed that his resources be managed. And the first aspect, the first stream of money is the place of covenant. Covenant. Kadabaro Sheda. Covenants. My God. I'm seeing some wonderful people in the meeting. God bless you. I enjoy seeing. I enjoy having you with me. It's a blessing to know that you are listening to me. Hallelujah. Covenant. It is the first dimension, the first stream of money. It is the spiritual component of money that connects the holder to a spiritual altar and proves the worth of that holder as a faithful steward. The peace of your resource, which is for covenant, it is what actually determines your worth as a faithful steward to God. It is the insurance and the security for the whole. The spiritual component of money, every money that comes to us. And you see, I sometimes get so sad when I see Christians engaging in the unending debates of tithing and all manner of things. Can't you see? Open your eyes. Can't you see that the devil is strategically breaking the church, breaking our hold, destroying our heritage of prosperity? Have you realized what is happening? I was telling somebody, in these corona times, listen to me, social gatherings of various, you know, proportions have been opened because they are essential. You go to America, bars have been opened because they say they are essential. But churches have not been deemed essential. Do you know why? Because the devil is succeeding in making the church a non-essential entity in the human sphere. And one of the things that makes the church powerful is the prosperity of the church. God said through Zechariah that my cities, through prosperity, shall yet be spread abroad. My cities, through prosperity. A poor kingdom will always be neglected by the masses. When the church was powerful and was building schools and handing them over to governments, they were a part of national decisions. Now the devil is busily breaking our stronghold. It is time to rise. Look, the point is this. If you do not heed to the covenants, the devil will covenant with you. There is always a portion of your money you can't seem to account for. You don't know where it goes because it doesn't belong to you. It will always go where it's supposed to go. My God, but thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get well, so that he will establish his covenant, which is swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Now look at something. See, I get passionate when I begin to talk about some of these things. The same people arguing on Facebook and trying to convince you, no, don't give your tithes to anybody, don't do this, they are destroying your covenant with God. But the same people are always servicing their covenant with the regions of darkness. Yeah. They are servicing their covenant with the regions of darkness. They are throwing money into beauty pageants and then, you know, spewing into the system the spirit of lust into an entire nation, destroying entire generations, sponsoring all manner of evil, sponsoring abortion, sponsoring all manner of things. Yet they will tell you, you don't also sponsor, don't sponsor the things you believe in. But they are busily sponsoring the things they believe in. Paul encountered the same thing in the book of Acts chapter 19. Verse 24 to 28. Listen to this one. I'm reading it to you. It is very graphic. You can imagine it. Look at this. It says, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana. Diana was a goddess. He brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. So this was a business, you know, a business network. And their source, their covenant, their altar was the altar of the goddess Diana. And the Bible said that because they were connected to this altar, they made no small gains. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, says, you know, at that time, if you read the whole scripture, Paul had entered into the place and was wreaking havoc everywhere, turning the hearts of the people from their gods and their goddesses. And this man realized that this thing was affecting their trade. It was affecting their profit. It was affecting their altar. They were not able to serve their altar. It's due. They called for a meeting, a network meeting. In this day, it could be an association. In Ghana, we have Association of Ghanaian Industries and all manner of associations. They called for a meeting. And he began to address the people. He says, you know that by this craft, we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made with hands, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana. Hallelujah. The temple of the great goddess Diana. He started his statement with this one. He says, you all know that it is by this craft we have our wealth. And what was that craft? It was the craft that was supplying silver shrines for Diana. By that craft, they made their wealth. Hallelujah. And look at what happened. It says, and when they heard this saying, they were full of wrath, they were full of anger, and they cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. These people understood covenant. They were businessmen who had dedicated their businesses to their altars. It is today, Christians, we do all manner of businesses, but we are entitled. We have not yet seen ourselves as stewards of God's entrustment. We are stewards of God's kingdom trust. Because we have not seen ourselves so, we have become powerless in the trade markets of the world. People represent various orders. You represent nothing because you have failed to identify the covenant aspects of your resources. You have failed to identify. Number two stream of money is your seed. After your covenant is your seed. Your seed is the component of money that bears the multiplicity code. I call it the multiplicity code because inside the hole that you have received, there is a portion that holds the ability to reproduce the hole again. It is the seed. In every created matter is the reproductive code that begins the chain of multiplication. Money is not an exception. Any money that you fully devour will not repeat itself. Your seed is not a sacrifice, but it is a necessary guarantee for reproduction. It takes the form of giving to various causes, people, and places. Giving to parents, giving to certain causes, giving in various places. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 to 10, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, you will abound to every good work. As it is written, he has despaired abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remain forever. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, he also ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed soon and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And that brings me to the third dimension of your money. It is the fruit. This is the one for consumption. A lot of us are always in a haste to consume the bread. And because of that hastiness, we mistaken everything for bread. The bread never comes back. The food that is consumed never comes back. It is never reproduced. We fall short in the trade market of the world, in the dealings with men and women of this world. We are children of light, yet in our dealings we always fall short, and it is because we mistaken the seed for bread. Hallelujah. The bread is the portion of money that is meant to feed the holder. That is what feeds you. It is the reward for the faithfulness of stewardship. Practically, we will always realize that our real needs are just a fraction of what God gives us. It is practical. Don't ever entertain the thoughts of your needs being more than your resources. It is never true. It is a lie that we have lived with our entire lives. When you critically assess your needs, you will realize that almost every time, whatever is in your hand is enough. The issue with our many needs is that we don't know how to connect time to our needs. So every time our needs looks like urgent. Imagine somebody needing a phone and cannot distinguish the difference between a yam and a low spec phone. Let's say some. Nowadays, all these phones are becoming powerful nowadays. But the Infinix and the Technos, you should be able to practically analyze your needs, and you will realize that that iPhone that you are looking for which every money is not enough, all you need it for is for calls, pictures, and WhatsApp. That is all. Which could have been saved by another phone. But you see, we don't know how to time our needs. So because of that, our needs are never met with the resources we have. Hallelujah. Extremely important. The bread. And the final aspect of money. The fourth place of money, which I want us to understand, is the portion of money which is for inheritance. The portion of money which is for inheritance. God taught me this in 2009. That whatever comes to you, I know practically this is extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult. Because we have been baptized into a certain kind of culture where whatever comes to us finishes. We sometimes even become selective as to what resource we should even covenant on. We become selective. Sometimes we want to wait until a seed has been called for. No. Kingdom intelligence, the world calls it financial intelligence. But when we come into the kingdom of God, when we come into the ways of the glorified, it is a kind of spiritual intelligence, how we handle resources in order to maximize our potential to create wealth. Make certain seeds intentional and programmed. Program seeds for your parents. Oh, it doesn't need to be all every money. It does not need to be the biggest. It doesn't need to. Hallelujah. It doesn't need to. Program a monthly seed, a quarterly seed for your church. You don't wait till there is a appeal for funds. That thing belongs to children. It belongs to children. Don't wait till there is a appeal for funds. It is very possible you will even be offended. Program it. Program occasional seeds. Christmas, Easter, whatever occasion. Program a seed to bless certain people with. The Muslims do it. The people in the world, they do it. But Christians, they always want to be preached to before they do it. We are always late. You remember what Jesus said? He said that the children of this world, in their dealings, they are wiser. And the children of light, they are wiser than the children of light. Hallelujah. Inheritance. This is the portion of money that is left behind to create a resource base for the next generation. My question is, do you think everything that comes to your hands is all for you? Create inheritance. Build a legacy. Invest in things that lives beyond you. Hallelujah. We are not talking about savings here. We are not talking about a savings account. We are talking about things that practically blesses the generations that come from you. Hallelujah. The world, in the corruption of its system, has reduced this principle to savings, investments, and various financial products. But those of us who understand God's way of operations, we are talking about strategic investments in the resources that are viable and can withstand time. The best proven biblical ways of storing up wealth for future generations is investments into lands, plantation, minerals, and livestock. These four. It is all through scripture. In the whole of scriptures, everyone that the Bible called rich, he was rich in these four things. Lands, plantation, minerals, and livestock. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, the Bible said, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's and his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So this is it. Your measure of wealth should be at least two generations away. Whatever you have and you count as your wealth, it should be able to last at least two generations after you. Not forgetting the present value of money, inflation and everything. So imagine, let's take generation for 30 years. Whatever you are able to accrue in this lifetime as a son and a daughter of God, you should be able to withstand inflation and all manner of financial factors and still make your children's children rich. We are talking about 90-year-old wealth. Hallelujah. I want to make this very practical to you. So, to say you are wealthy in the order of God, your wealth should be able to last at least 90 years. 90 years. In our country, we don't even have companies, local companies that have thrived for 30. In the world, most rich families, their source is family businesses that have gone beyond 100 years. We have General Motors. We have Rockefeller's company. And they are still operating and making the entire family rich. We have the Walmarts, transcended time from one man, and now an entire family is rich. Inheritance. Hallelujah. Now, let me quickly wrap up with this one. How to create value and capacity. How to create value. I'm just running it up just in 15 minutes. How do you create value? A lot of believers don't understand how to create value. It breaks my heart when I see Christians becoming so inferior everywhere they go to. In the workplace, they are inferior. They can't match up with competition. And they will brand everybody a witch. Create value. How do you create value? Number one, discover your area of strength. Discover your area of strength. Proverbs 22:29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean man. Diligent man, his place is among the kings. Discover your area of strength and work it. Work it. Your area of strength may not necessarily be your course of study in the university. I have friends. It's not like I've heard. I have friends I stayed in the same class with doing studying mathematics, BSc mathematics. Today, they are computer engineers, computer programmers, making good money. Some of them are businessmen in real estate. Hallelujah. Discover your strength. Number two, how do you create value? Start with an idea. Start with an idea. Conceive a thought and push it through. Job 32 verse 8, Bible said, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Conceive an idea and push it through. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Number three, how do you create value? Be willing to step into the unknown. Sometimes my problem with people, they want to figure everything out before they will take a step. They want to figure everything out. There is power in starting. Start from the unknown start from the known into the unknown. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 4, the Bible says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regarded the clouds shall not reap. Take risk. Most especially, a lot of you who are not married, don't be considering your life too much like that. The best time for your greatest risk is the time you are not married, so you will not become a burden on anybody's daughter. I hope the ladies are listening to me. If somebody is dating you and the person is not taking risk, his life is too comfortable, tell him that, hey, you better take risk right now so that in case you die, I can get another boyfriend. Not when we are married and then you'll be putting me through unnecessary pressure. Hallelujah. You want to do ministry? Start now. You want to do business? Start now. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is the time you can travel for days and weeks and nobody, you don't have to answer to anybody when you will come. When you change your mind, you don't have to be calling and be explaining. Don't you agree with me? Number four, how do you create value? Create a plan of action. Have a plan. You know, this year, I'm trusting God for the corona to go quickly. We'll be doing the second phase, the second session of Dear Daughter. And one of the things I'm going to tell the ladies, my daughters, you know, we used to tell you that marry a man, go for a guy with a vision. But I have realized that vision is not enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you are listening to this one. Go for a guy with a plan. A guy with a plan. Vision is not enough. A plan. Doable plan. A plan that you as a lady, you can navigate your way through and then practically see where you stand. Not a vision they will be saying, I'm trusting God. I believe that God will do this. And I believe in the next 5 years, I see God. He's not seeing anything. It's very important. You must have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you can't create value. Next action. Next thing. How do you create value? Burn your bridges. Be prepared to make sacrifices. And one of them is disconnecting from what is likely to take you back into your comfort zone. There are some people, you have certain safe zones, certain safe relationships. You have a certain anchor. When you go, as soon as you call him, he will come and bail you out. Because of that, you are never able to take risk. Disconnect from that anchor. Delete his number from the phone. Put yourself in a place where it is impossible for you to change your mind. Yeah. Very important. Put yourself in a place where it is impossible for you to change your mind. It is one thing to regret. It's another thing to turn back. It is okay to regret, but regret and still go on. Praise the Lord. Next thing, how do you create value? Build a team. Surround yourself with a powerful team. Surround yourself with winners. Don't surround yourself with people who will talk down on your vision, who will talk down on your plans, who will talk down on your resolve to be prosperous. You say, Charlie, yeah, this life, this money is okay. It's okay. No money is okay. As long as it is gotten with integrity and in truthfulness, it is never okay. Keep going for it. Build a team. A team network. Your network is your net worth. That's what they say. Hallelujah. Yeah. Finally, how do you create value? Stay unique and different. Stay unique and different. The world does not celebrate competition. They celebrate uniqueness. The world celebrates uniqueness, not similarity. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. He says we have gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Everybody is different. Enjoy your uniqueness. Hallelujah. Your value is in your uniqueness. It is not in your similarity. Your value, take it again. Your value is in your uniqueness, not in your similarity. 12 indicators of value. 12 things that indicate value, which you must look at. Those are the areas of your life you must consciously be evaluating. consistently evaluate these 12 areas of your life and make sure that you are consistently building it is extremely important. Very important. Very important. 12 areas, 12 indicators of value. You should understand that. You see, there are two types of value I didn't mention. There is the real value that is intrinsic with your person. It is intrinsic with you. You know, the Bible said in Luke chapter 12, verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. So you have an intrinsic value as a child of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. It is a measurement of value. The anointing of the Lord is upon your head. It's a measurement of value. Hallelujah. You have the spirit of wisdom, the mind of Christ. It is a measurement of value. That is real value. But there is also perceived value. Perceived value is what a third party perceives and is willing to pay for. When somebody looks at you, what do they perceive? What are they willing to pay for? Are they willing to listen to you? Are they willing to travel and come sit under you and listen to your words? As a preacher, how many people are willing to travel for your sake and sit and hear your wisdom? Perceived value. As a businessman, how many people are willing to pay for what you are serving or selling? Perceived value. And to increase your value, you must think of yourself as a product and upgrade yourself constantly. And these are the 12 indicators, 12 things that you must always be looking out for in order to upgrade. Very important. Extremely important. Hallelujah. I want somebody to be rich. In the name of Jesus, I want somebody to be rich. I want you to respond and shout amen. That you will be rich in your lifetime. You will not just be normal. Don't be normal. You will not be normal. I don't care how old you are. But you will not be normal. In the name of Jesus. Tabaradabakataya. Number one, I'm mentioning 12 things quickly. 12 things in the next 4 minutes. 12 things. Number one indicator. Number one indicator. Expertise. Expertise. What do you know? What is your area of expertise? Expertise is what you know. Then number two is expert status. What people know you for, what you are known to be able to do. Expert status. What is your status in the eyes of people? When they mention your name, what do people think of you? Hallelujah. What do people think of you? Very important. When they mention Excellence Key, what do they think? What capability do they see? Number three, skill. What you do. Skill is not what you know. Skill is what you do. Skill, what you do. Hallelujah. Very important. What you do. Number four, productivity. I have been working with a lot of people. I have seen all manner of Christians, from Jehovah's Witness to Catholic to Charismatics to Pentecostal. And I can tell you, the least productive has always been my own brothers and sisters. It is not a good testimony, and I don't want it to be mentioned amongst any of you. Productivity, what you get done. What somebody gets done in the office in one day, don't use 2 days. And later be complaining that your promotion is due, yet they are not promoting you. You think they are not watching? What people can finish in 2 hours, you will finish in 6 hours. Productivity, what you get done. Number five, efficiency. How you get things done. Efficiency. Those are indicators of value. When you want to measure your value and determine the proportionate amount of money you qualify for, efficiency, how do you get things done? Next one is effectiveness. Effectiveness. How well you get things done. How well, the measure of quality. Efficiency is about the speed and the seamlessness of the processes. Effectiveness is about the quality of the delivery. Quality. Oh, you know, some of you, you don't want to be told the truth that what you did is not good enough. You want to be praised for everything. Open your eyes, grow up. You can be praised for everything. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening to me? You can't be praised for everything. No. Effectiveness. The next indicator that you must always be looking at. Organization. Multiplication. Organization. How you get things done by means other than manual labor. How can you organize yourself in a way to make your work easier? Easier to understand. Easier to follow through. There are some people, you work in a place, you don't know how to write reports. Anytime you write report and they read, they also have to come and ask questions before they will understand what you wrote. You are not organized. Hallelujah. Organization. How else can you do the job apart from manual labor? Do you always have to wait for somebody before you can get your job done, or you can leverage a system to get your job done? That's how we work it. The next indicator of value is influence. How much influence do you have? What is influence? Influence is what you can get others to do. How much influence do you have? By that, we determine your value. Next one is relationships. Who do you know? Hallelujah. Who do you know? Relationships. All the people you know are your classmates. You don't know anybody better than you. You don't know anybody in any powerful place. You go to places, you greet people, and then you frown your face. You are the unapproachable light. Hallelujah. Who do you know? It determines your value. I have been to meetings where as soon as a person mentions who introduced him, the perception about him automatically changes. Just because he mentioned a particular powerful name, everything changes. Number 10, indicator of influence, integrity. Integrity, powerful one. How strong is people's faith in you? How strong is people's faith in you? You are a pastor. We can't trust their daughters with you in the same house. So you see that even when people say, oh, I'm going to visit pastor, you will have their friends. Their friends will be warning them, take care of yourself as you are going. We know this man. My goodness. Integrity. You are a businessman. Somebody mentions the name of your business and another person will advise him, hey, this guy, are you sure you like his product? Have you heard people's testimony about him? They keep asking questions. As soon as people begin to question your integrity, your value begins to diminish. Hallelujah. Number 11, Reputation. What is reputation? Reputation is what others know about you. Records. You must be mindful of your life and realize that everything you do is a record. It is building a reputation for you. People will refer to it. Reputation. The consistency of your life is being watched by people. Hallelujah. The things you keep saying, they are being watched and listened to by people. They are being recorded. And it is building for you a reputation which will determine your value very soon. And finally, the number 12 indicator of value, vision. What you see that others don't see. Vision. What you see that others don't see. What you see that others don't see. Extremely important. These 12 things I have mentioned, they should be a consistent matter of concern to you. Expertise, status, skill, productivity, efficiency, effectiveness, organization, influence, relationships, integrity, reputation, and vision. If you do this and you excel in them, your value can never be negotiated by any man. Hallelujah. Your value can never be negotiated by anybody. Anytime you show up, there is a sense of authority you command, and people accept you for what you are. And they are willing and they are ready to pay up in order to receive of the deposits that you carry. In the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody that let your value, by reason of God's ordinance, He says that you are more valuable than the birds of the sky. Because you have the mind of Christ, your value is much greater than those of an old dead nature. Because you have the Holy Spirit, your value is intrinsically greater than that one who is of the old man. I pray that may your value kick into operation and may your value become your strong point in the markets of souls. May your value become your stronger point. May it become your advantage in the dealings of men. In the name of Jesus Christ, God bless you and God prosper you. I pray that these things that I have taught, they will become nuggets lying down in the bowels of your spirit to plunge you into unending seasons of greatness, financially, socially, politically, spiritually, in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I love you all. Hallelujah.
The glory of the Lord is the proof of the divine presence of Yahweh. It is the reward of faithfully seeking the Lord with all your heart. Beloved, the time is now.
Denny's Legacy.
Here I am, Lord. I dwell in your secret place. Where I found my rest. I seek you every day. Where I found you. Prepare your word in me. Here I show me your glory. your secret place. I find my rest. I seek you, I seek you every day. I found you. Perfect, you're worthy of me. Here I am, Lord. Show me your glory.
Fill this place, O Lord.
Your glory.